Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram Weekend Edition for Saturday, July 22nd, 2023. Midland unemployment holds at 2.6%. Midland's already record-high civilian labor force grew by about 1,000 from May to June to 114,685 and is up by 6,400 from June 2022. Midland and Odessa continued to enjoy strong labor markets at the midpoint of 2023. The Texas Workforce Commission said Friday its Midland Metropolitan Statistical Area, MSA, which includes Midland and Martin counties, had an unemployment rate of 2.6% in June, unchanged from May, but down from 3.2% last June. Odessa jumped to third place, just ahead of Austin, Round Rock, and College Station, Bryan, at 3.4%. Unchanged from May, but down from 4.2% the previous June. Quote, "This is probably the strongest market in Texas," end quote, observed Willie Taylor, chief executive officer of the Commission's Workforce Solutions Permian Basin, which oversees 17 West Texas counties. Speaking with the Reporter Telegram by telephone, Taylor noted that the labor market is strong all over, making it difficult to recruit talented workers. And he pointed out a tight labor market supports higher wages. Wages in Midland's mining, logging, and construction sector totaled a little more than $1 billion in the fourth quarter of 2022, followed by trade, transportation, and utilities at $429.4 million. Quote, "One of the things we're seeing is a little bit of a slowdown in training," end quote, Taylor said. "Training in truck driving, linemen, and medical services remain strong," he said. "But other areas are seeing a slowdown because strong wages are encouraging people to take jobs and put off training," he explained. "Those wages and available jobs are also driving an influx of job seekers," he said. Quote, "I was shocked driving down Interstate 20 at the number of man camps," end quote, he said. Midland's already record-high civilian labor force grew by about 1,000 from May to June. 114,685 from 113,615, and is up by 6,400 from June 2022. Numbers, Taylor said, are reminiscent of those seen in 2019, when Midland's unemployment rate fell as low as 1.7%. While Midland's civilian labor force grew, the number of employed Midlanders grew a similar amount, rising by about 1,000 from 110,638 in May to 111,714 in June. 6,860 more than the 104,852 employed last year. The number of unemployed held steady at 2,971, down from 2,977 in May, and 459 fewer than the 3,430 reported a year ago. Midland added 800 jobs during the month, for a total non-farm job count of 120,700. The dominant mining, logging, and construction sector, which comprises 34.2% of jobs, added 800 jobs, followed by the leisure and hospitality sector with 200 new jobs. The manufacturing sector added 100 jobs. The trade, transportation, and utilities sector, private education and health services sector, and government sector each lost 100 jobs during the month. For the 12 months from June 2022 to June 2023, Midland added 9,200 jobs for a growth rate of 8.3%. The mining, logging, and construction sector led with the creation of 5,500 new jobs. Trade, transportation, and utilities added 700 jobs. The manufacturing and the professional and business services sectors each added 600 jobs. Leisure and hospitality added 500 jobs. The financial activity sector and private education and health services sector each added 400 jobs. The other services sector added 300 jobs. The government sector was the only industrial sector to be unchanged over the year. Statewide, the unemployment rate remained at 4.1%. The state broke three records for number of jobs, number of employed, and size of the state's civilian labor force. Total non-farm employment increased by 31,100 over the month to reach a 21st consecutive series high level at 13.944 million jobs and achieved 28 consecutive months of growth. Since June 2022, Texas employment has grown by 542,500 jobs, the largest annual increase in the nation. The employment growth rate of 4% outpaced every other state and the national average of 2.5%. The civilian labor force grew by 30,500 to reach 15.039 million, and the number of employed hit a record high of 14.42 million. While Midland reported the state's lowest unemployment, the highest was in McAllen-Edinburg, Mission at 6.7%. Topping 10,000. Rope Youth Food First Program tops 10,000 meals to local youth. Carl Borowski is reporting his Rope Youth Food First program to feed hungry youth around Midland has served 10,000 meals this summer. There is still time before the end of the program on August 4th, but the program has already surpassed the less than 9,000 total last year. Organizations expected to help Rope Youth this summer included First Baptist Church, Porter's Grocery, Grace Lutheran Church, Golf Course Road Men's Bible Study Group, Performance Chemical, Champion X, Advanced Church, Murray's Deli, Crown Quest Operating, Stonegate Fellowship, First Presbyterian Church, St. Luke's United Methodist Church, Endeavor Energy, and Pioneer Natural Resources. Dinner is served from 5 to 7 p.m. at different locations each night. They are Greater Ideal Baptist Church, 411 South Tyler Street on Mondays, Boys and Girls Club Half Park, 110 East New Jersey Avenue on Tuesdays, Casa de Amigos, 1101 Garden Lane, and Washington Park, 1803 East Indiana Avenue on Wednesdays, Taylor Street Park, 1401 Carter Avenue on Thursdays, and Bunch Elementary, 700 South Jackson Street on Fridays. Borowski opened a second daily site this month at Porter's Grocery, 703 East Front Street. Bond Planning Committee to make presentation to MISD Board. The Midland ISD Board will hear a presentation from the district's Bond Planning Committee at its meeting Tuesday. Aaron Erdworm, Austin Beam, Josh Hamm, and Lillian Lujan will provide the committee's recommendation. The district reported that its Bond Planning Committee met on six different occasions between February and June. Midland ISD has reported that when the committee makes its presentations, the principal and interest is likely to look like the following. Proposition A. $1.3617 billion in principal and $1.448 billion in interest for a total debt service of $2.8156 billion. Proposition B, $317.2 million in principal and $335.852 million in interest for a total debt service of $654.782 million combined. $1.6843 billion in principal and $1.7861 billion in interest for a total debt service of $3.4704 billion. MISD finance department officials have reported that if a bond in November is presented as expected and voters approve both propositions, it would increase the district's interest and sinking tax rate by 21.44 cents per $100 valuation. Midland ISD reported in June that should both propositions pass, it would result in an additional $571.08 to the annual tax bill of the average residential property inside Midland, or $47.59 a month. There is no action item. Officials have stated the board will decide on the particulars of a bond referendum during a meeting in August. Presenters speak out. The reporter telegram attempted to reach the presenters and heard back from three of the four. Of those who replied, Erdworm is the only graduate of MISD schools, while Hamm and Beam both attended MISD schools at some point. Between the three who responded, they have had two children graduate from MISD schools. Have five children currently attending schools inside the district and have one more who is expected to attend MISD schools. When asked, quote, what do you think the committee's recommendations accomplished? End quote. Their answers included the changes with school configuration, moving ninth grades onto high schools and sixth graders onto junior highs, and increasing the number of pre-K positions. Other comments made included providing excellent learning environments now and for the future growth of Midland ISD. Quote, maximally leveraging the high-quality facilities we currently have, while ensuring our existing elementary capacity is adequate to support the long-term district needs. Increasing capacity for pre-K students who would otherwise go unserved in Midland, and positioning more kindergartners at a level that will enable their continued success through grade school and beyond. Addressing safety and security across the district to protect our students and staff. Upgrading facilities to enhance a student's ability to learn in a more optimal learning environment. When asked, quote, what do you like most about the bond, end quote, answers included the work from many stakeholders, the effort that went into the bond preparation, including the work of the long-range planning committee, which met prior to the bond planning committee, the modernization of facilities and grade configuration, and that the recommendations are equitable and they address the district's most important needs. Quote, in other words, nearly all students within MISD will benefit from this bond if both propositions pass, end quote, Beam wrote. Quote, whether through aging facility investments, new facilities, enabling new opportunities for students through reconfiguration and or accessibility, security and safety improvements, nearly all students are positively impacted. Other items the three liked about the recommendations included, they prepare Midland ISD for the anticipated continued growth, they optimize district resources and instruction and transportation, they enable new opportunities for students through reconfiguration and or accessibility, security and safety improvements, nearly all students are positively impacted. The totality of the solutions the bond offers. Quote, modernization of facilities and grade configuration, safety and security upgrades, aging facilities upgrades, additional primary school capacity, additional secondary school capacity, the ability to accommodate future growth and efficiencies in operation through new facilities. This bond offers all these solutions and more, end quote, Ham wrote. Lastly, they were asked about how these recommendations will improve student outcomes. Erdworm wrote that the recommendations provide a reduction of student transitions from school to school, provide consistency for students, and expand course options with advanced offerings for students earlier in their education. Quote, efficiency gained allows staff to be used more effectively to focus on improving learning for students, end quote, he wrote. Beam added, a safe and secure learning environment is a foundational element of learning, and too many students in our district today are exposed to insufficiencies in accessibility, safety, and security due to aging facilities. Quote, in addition, research has demonstrated statistically significant relationships between quality of learning environments and student outcomes, including test scores and graduation rates. Blinko, J.M., 2008, end quote, Beam wrote. Quote, our new and renovated schools will provide these quality learning environments, thus directly impacting student outcomes, end quote. Beam also wrote, more students will enter kindergarten prepared as a result of the capacity provided for additional pre-K students, and that students in 6th and 9th grades will be afforded notably better opportunities to participate in extracurricular activities, advanced learning courses, and specialty courses that will best support their individual learning plans. Lastly, portables will be dramatically reduced, and the recommendations will, quote, better position our district to attract and retain the best teachers and administrators. Our community's commitment to public education will be visible. This will bring in students and families who may have otherwise felt like their only option was to pursue alternatives to public education. We will see more families willing to commit to Midland as a destination and not just as a stop, end quote. Death notices. Annie M. Thomas. Annie M. Thomas, age 88, of Midland, Texas, went to be with the Lord July 18, 2023. Visitation will be held Thursday, July 27, 2023, from 6 o'clock p.m. to 8 o'clock p.m. at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Funeral service will be held July 28, 2023, at 10 o'clock a.m. at Mount Calvary Missionary Baptist Church. Interment will follow at Fairview Cemetery. Funeral arrangements are under the care and direction of Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Online condolences can be made at asanchezTFH.com. Howard Charnell Morris. Howard Charnell Morris, age 74, of Midland, Texas, passed away on Wednesday, July 19, 2023. A visitation for Howard will be held Tuesday, July 25th, 2023, from 9 o'clock a.m. to 10:45 a.m. at Ellis Rest Haven Funeral Home and Memorial Park, 4616 North Big Spring Street, Midland, Texas, 79705. A graveside service will follow the visitation at 11 o'clock a.m. at Rest Haven Memorial Park, 4616 North Big Spring Street, Midland, Texas, 79705. Obituaries. Jeffrey Jeff Carl Hayes. Jeffrey Jeff Carl Hayes, 60, of Midland, Texas, was called home on Thursday, July 13, 2023. To honor his memory, a celebration of life will be held at 1 o'clock p.m. Friday, July 28, 2023, at Nally Picklin Welch Funeral Home Chapel. Jeff was born on July 3, 1963, in St. Joseph, Missouri, to J., J.D., and Carol Hayes. Left to cherish his memory are his son, Jacob Hayes, his wife, Rebecca Hayes, her parents, Roger and Jesse, and her children, Jeremy, Joshua, Jessica, and husband, along with numerous grandchildren. Sister Patricia Trish Black, her husband Nathaniel, uncles Carl, Wayne, Tawny, and family, and Van Folger and family, along with numerous cousins. Nieces Desiree Hayes and Candace Reese, her husband and their three children. Nephews Caleb Black, his wife and their daughter, and Caden Black. Sister-in-law Pam Hayes Yarbrough, and husband Larry, and their blended family. Extended family Sam Sliger, his children Tim, Lori, Kenny, and their families, Millie Rogers, mother of Jacob Hayes, and her husband Terry, son Stephen McMarion, and his wife and their two children, along with numerous lifelong friends acquired throughout his lifetime. Those welcoming Jeff home are his parents, Jay, J.D. Hayes, and Carol Hayes Fulfer Sliger, stepfather Walter Buddy Fulfer, grandparents Carl, Lee, and Loretta Tawny, sisters Dana Haynes and Teresa Fulfer, brother James Hayes, and aunts Debbie Folger Patterson and Sharon Tawny. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Picklin Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. If you go, fast facts about Celebration of the Arts. What? Celebration of the Arts celebrates local artists through a display of hands-on activities, demonstrations, shopping, family-friendly, and special events, and visual art. Where? This year's event will take place at the Busch Convention Center downtown, 105 North Main Street. When? 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday, noon to 5 p.m. Sunday. How? Admission is free. Food/drink. Local food trucks, Sweet Traveler Patisserie, Sassy Snack Shack, The Kitchen by Lori, Scooter Dog Texas, Crystal's Crepes and Coffee, The Blizzard Bus, Sirebrook's Mobile Fest, The Finer Things Bakery, and Texas Tap Company will be set up outside. Type of art, sculpture, painting, jewelry, mixed media, wood, metal drawing, and much more. What's up with Midland? Busch Convention Center, Celebration of the Arts, Saturday through Sunday. City Nights, Barbecue Cook-Off, July 29th. The Destination, Scotty Alexander Band, Saturday. Bring Your Own Blues, Open Blues Jam, July 27th. Friday Night Live, Rita Cappuccina e Animo, July 28th. Jake Busch, July 29th. Earth, Body, and Soul. Walk-in Terra Reading every Tuesday. Walk-in Reiki Energy Clearing every Wednesday. Angel Work, 101, July 28th. Horseshoe, Silver Spur Trade Show, July 29th through 30th. Museum of the Southwest, Downtown Midland Farmers Market every Saturday. Summer Sunday Lawn Concert Series, Sunday, July 30th. Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, Kenny Wayne Shepherd, Saturday. Puppy Pals Live from America's Got Talent, Monday. Review. Hamilton is a must-see for all West Texans. A few years ago, I saw Hamilton in Washington, D.C. on 4th of July weekend. Although this marked the first and only time I'd watched the production live, I instantly became obsessed. After that, I listened to the official Broadway soundtrack for 6 months straight and binge-streamed the recorded performance after joining Disney Plus in 2020. So naturally, my expectations for the Philip Tour cast taking over Buddy Holly Hall in Lubbock sat very high. Without hesitation, the cast delivered, but a few stood above the rest. Jared Halton Marquise de Lafayette / Thomas Jefferson seamlessly stole the show with his 6 words per second rapping skills and charismatic demeanor. His energy and talents beam in every direction off the stage, while his ability to effortlessly transform from a rough, on-the-edges Frenchman in the first act to a distinguished Virginian with a wide vocal range can be seen from every angle in the theater. Vanessa Mangula, Eliza Hamilton, who's actually a member of the ensemble, filled the leading lady role. Although the actress holds one of the smaller credit lists in the cast, nor been in other Hamilton tours like most of her co-workers, Mangula encompassed all the emotion and sincerity required for the role. Stellar vibrato and forceful belts make the actress a force to be reckoned with. Blaine Alden Krauss, Alexander Hamilton, and Deontay Goodman, Aaron Burr, nailed each role, betraying the on-again, off-again friendship, driving focus of the musical with authentic despair and commotion. Eddie Ortega, Hercules Mulligan / James Madison, and Tyler Fauntleroy, John Lawrence / Philip Hamilton, wanted their intense operatic and hip-hop artistry, while Neil Haskell, King George, effortlessly provided comedic relief. I always adore watching the ensemble move about the stage, because quite frankly, the show can't happen without them. They're in charge of changing the scene, telling the narrative, and providing both physical and vocal support to principal actors and actresses, especially Anthony Santos, whose sharp movements and elegance immediately caught my eye. This cast gives more to its audience than a dramatic display. Through devout dedication, each member portrays an act of fascinating enthusiasm and expertise, both captivating and profound. The 1 hour and 40-minute commute from Midland, Odessa, pocket change. This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram Weekend Edition for Saturday, July 22nd, 2023. Midland unemployment holds at 2.6%. Midland's already record-high civilian labor force grew by about 1,000 from May to June to 114,685 and is up by 6,400 from June 2022. Midland and Odessa continued to enjoy strong labor markets at the midpoint of 2023. The Texas Workforce Commission said Friday its Midland Metropolitan Statistical Area, MSA, which includes Midland and Martin counties, had an unemployment rate of 2.6% in June, unchanged from May, but down from 3.2% last June. Odessa jumped to third place, just ahead of Austin Round Rock and College Station Bryan at 3.4%. Unchanged from May, but down from 4.2% the previous June. Quote, "This is probably the strongest market in Texas," end quote, observed Willie Taylor, chief executive officer of the Commission's Workforce Solutions Permian Basin, which oversees 17 West Texas counties. Speaking with the Reporter-Telegram by telephone, Taylor noted that the labor market is strong all over, making it difficult to recruit talented workers. And, he pointed out, a tight labor market supports higher wages. Wages in Midland's mining, logging, and construction sector totaled a little more than $1 billion in the fourth quarter of 2022, followed by trade, transportation, and utilities at $429.4 million. Quote, "One of the things we're seeing is a little bit of a slowdown in training," end quote, Taylor said. "Training in truck driving, linemen, and medical services remain strong," he said. "But other areas are seeing a slowdown because strong wages are encouraging people to take jobs and put off training," he explained. "Those wages and available jobs are also driving an influx of job seekers," he said. Quote, "I was shocked, driving down Interstate 20 at the number of man camps," end quote, he said. Midland's already record-high civilian labor force grew by about 1,000 from May to June. 114,685 from 113,615, and is up by 6,400 from June 2022. Numbers, Taylor said, are reminiscent of those seen in 2019, when Midland's unemployment rate fell as low as 1.7%. While Midland's civilian labor force grew, the number of employed Midlanders grew a similar amount, rising by about 1,000 from 110,638 in May to 111,714 in June. 6,860 more than the 104,852 employed last year. The number of unemployed held steady at 2,971, down from 2,977 in May, and 459 fewer than the 3,430 reported a year ago. Midland added 800 jobs during the month, for a total non-farm job count of 120,700. The dominant mining, logging, and construction sector, which comprises 34.2% of jobs, added 800 jobs, followed by the leisure and hospitality sector with 200 new jobs. The manufacturing sector added 100 jobs. The trade, transportation, and utility sector, private education and health services sector, and government sector each lost 100 jobs during the month. For the 12 months from June 2022 to June 2023, Midland added 9,200 jobs for a growth rate of 8.3%. The mining, logging, and construction sector led with the creation of 5,500 new jobs. Trade, transportation, and utilities added 700 jobs. The manufacturing and the professional and business services sectors each added 600 jobs. Leisure and hospitality added 500 jobs. The financial activities sector and private education and health services sector each added 400 jobs. The other services sector added 300 jobs. The government sector was the only industrial sector to be unchanged over the year. Statewide, the unemployment rate remained at 4.1%. The state broke three records for number of jobs, number of employed, and size of the state's civilian labor force. Total non-farm employment increased by 31,100 over the month to reach a 21st consecutive series high level at 13.944 million jobs and achieved 28 consecutive months of growth. Since June 2022, Texas employment has grown by 542,500 jobs, the largest annual increase in the nation. The employment growth rate of 4% outpaced every other state and the national average of 2.5%. The civilian labor force grew by 30,500 to reach 15.039 million, and the number of employed hit a record high of 14.42 million. While Midland reported the state's lowest unemployment, the highest was in McAllen-Edinburgh Mission at 6.7%. Bond Planning Committee to make presentation to MISD Board. The Midland ISD Board will hear a presentation from the district's Bond Planning Committee at its meeting Tuesday. Aaron Erdworm, Austin Beam, Josh Hamm, and Lillian Lujan will provide the committee's recommendation. The district reported that its Bond Planning Committee met on six different occasions between February and June. Midland ISD has reported that when the committee makes its presentations, the principal and interest is likely to look like the following. Proposition A, $1.3617 billion in principal and $1.448 billion in interest for a total debt service of $2.8156 billion. Proposition B, $317.2 million in principal and $335.852 million in interest for a total debt service of $654.782 million. Combined, $1.6843 billion in principal and $1.7861 billion in interest for a total debt service of $3.4704 billion. MISD finance department officials have reported that if a bond in November is presented as expected and voters approve both propositions, it would increase the district's interest and sinking tax rate by 21.44 cents per $100 valuation. Midland ISD reported in June that should both propositions pass, it would result in an additional $571.08 to the annual tax bill of the average residential property inside Midland, or $47.59 a month. There is no action item. Officials have stated the board will decide on the particulars of a bond referendum during a meeting in August. Presenters speak out. The reporter telegram attempted to reach the presenters and heard back from three of the four. Of those who replied, Erdworm is the only graduate of MISD schools, while Hamm and Beam both attended MISD schools at some point. Between the three who responded, they have had two children graduate from MISD schools. Have five children currently attending schools inside the district and have one more who is expected to attend MISD schools. When asked, quote, what do you think the committee's recommendations accomplished? End quote. Their answers included the changes with school configuration, moving ninth grades onto high schools and sixth graders onto junior highs, and increasing the number of pre-K positions. Other comments made included providing excellent learning environments now and for the future growth of Midland ISD. Quote, maximally leveraging the high-quality facilities we currently have, while ensuring our existing elementary capacity is adequate to support the long-term district needs. Increasing capacity for pre-K students who would otherwise go unserved in Midland, and positioning more kindergartners at a level that will enable their continued success through grade school and beyond. Addressing safety and security across the district to protect our students and staff. Upgrading facilities to enhance a student's ability to learn in a more optimal learning environment. When asked, quote, what do you like most about the bond, end quote, answers included the work from many stakeholders, the effort that went into the bond preparation, including the work of the long-range planning committee, which met prior to the bond planning committee. The modernization of facilities and grade configuration, and that the recommendations are equitable and they address the district's most important needs. Quote, in other words, nearly all students within MISD will benefit from this bond if both propositions pass, end quote, Beam wrote. Quote, whether through aging facility investments, new facilities, enabling new opportunities for students through reconfiguration and or accessibility, security and safety improvements, nearly all students are positively impacted. Other items the three liked about the recommendations included, they prepare Midland ISD for the anticipated continued growth. They optimize district resources and instruction and transportation. They enable new opportunities for students through reconfiguration and or accessibility, security and safety improvements. Nearly all students are positively impacted. The totality of the solutions the bond offers. Quote, modernization of facilities and grade configuration, safety and security upgrades, aging facilities upgrades, additional primary school capacity, additional secondary school capacity, the ability to accommodate future growth and efficiencies in operation through new facilities. This bond offers all these solutions and more, end quote, Ham wrote. Lastly, they were asked about how these recommendations will improve student outcomes. Rudworm wrote that the recommendations provide a reduction of student transitions from school to school, provide consistency for students, and expand course options with advanced offerings for students earlier in their education. Quote, efficiency gained allows staff to be used more effectively to focus on improving learning for students, end quote, he wrote. Beam added a safe and secure learning environment is a foundational element of learning, and too many students in our district today are exposed to insufficiencies in accessibility, safety, and security due to aging facilities. Quote, in addition, research has demonstrated statistically significant relationships between quality of learning environments and student outcomes, including test scores and graduation rates. Blinko, J.M., 2008, end quote, Beam wrote. Quote, our new and renovated schools will provide these quality learning environments, thus directly impacting student outcomes, end quote. Beam also wrote, more students will enter kindergarten prepared as a result of the capacity provided for additional pre-K students, and that students in sixth and ninth grades will be afforded notably better opportunities to participate in extracurricular activities, advanced learning courses, and specialty courses that will best support their individual learning plans. Lastly, portables will be dramatically reduced, and the recommendations will, quote, better position our district to attract and retain the best teachers and administrators. Our community's commitment to public education will be visible. This will bring in students and families who may have otherwise felt like their only option was to pursue alternatives to public education. We will see more families willing to commit to Midland as a destination and not just as a stop, end quote. Forest fire risk. Midland County leaders to decide on burn ban. Midland County leaders will decide on a burn ban during their meeting Monday. An agenda item calls for the Midland County Commissioner's Court to, quote, discuss and take action on a burn ban, end quote. The item is on the agenda because of the hot and dry conditions that have scorched Midland County during the late spring and early summer. The Keach-Byram Drought Index, which is used to determining forest fire potential, graded Midland County at 581 on Friday. Midland County Fire Marshal Justin Bunch has told the Reporter-Telegram that the county will not, quote, enact a burn ban until our KBI is at or above 575, end quote. Midland is likely to have an average at or above 600 next week. According to the Texas A&M Forest Service website, the following is consistent with a score of 600 to 800. Quote, often associated with more severe drought with increased wildfire occurrence, intense deep burning fires with extreme intensities can be expected. Live fuels can also be expected to burn actively at these levels, end quote. Midland is surrounded by counties with burn bans, except for Andrews and Crane. The U.S. Drought Monitor shows, quote, moderate, end quote, to, quote, severe, end quote, drought impacting the area. And the U.S. Monthly Drought Outlook calls for, quote, drought development likely, end quote, and, quote, drought development to persist, end quote, in the region. The National Weather Service reported that 1.79 inches of precipitation has fallen at Midland International Airport through Thursday. That total is 7.02 inches below normal through July 20th. There is no rain in the 7-day forecast, according to the NWS, and the Climate Prediction Center calls for average rainfall and a 50 to 60% chance of above average temperatures from August through October. Texas Local Government Code 352.081 gives the County Commissioner's Court the authority to prohibit or restrict outdoor burning in general or outdoor burning. The Commissioner's Court will meet at 9 a.m. at the Midland County Courthouse. NWS Midland lists two historical streaks in less than 40 days. The National Weather Service in Midland showed Friday that the 100-degree streak in July has reached 13 days, which is the fourth longest in Midland's history. The NWS also showed that in a matter of 37 days, there have been 100-degree streaks of 15 and 13 days, or two of the four longest streaks in the city's history. The National Weather Service reported 15 consecutive days of 100-degree high temperatures, the longest streak ever recorded at Midland International Airport. Friday's high temperature was 100 degrees. The NWS expects this 100-degree streak to come to an end Saturday as a high temperature of 96 degrees is forecast. Other weather notables include Friday was the 30th 100-degree day in 2023. There is no rain in the 7-day forecast, according to the NWS. Weather report. Friday's high, 100 degrees. Typical high for July 21st, 96 degrees. Friday's low, 76 degrees. Typical low for July 21st, 73 degrees. Record high for July 21st, 104 in 2018. Number of straight days at or above 100 degrees, 13 days. Last 5 days, Monday, 103 degrees, Tuesday, 106 degrees, Wednesday, 103 degrees, Thursday, 101 degrees, Friday, 100 degrees. Next 5 days, Saturday, 96 degrees, Sunday, 101 degrees, Monday, 103 degrees, Tuesday, 102 degrees, Wednesday, 102 degrees. Most consecutive 100-degree days, July, June 15th through 29th, 2023, 15 days, June 16th through 29th, 1988, 14 days, June 7th through 20th, 2011, 14 days, July 9th through 21st, 2023, 13 days, June 30th through July 11th, 1964, 12 days, July 14th through 25th, 1981, 12 days. Source, NWS. Community Roundup for July 22nd. Da Vinci Robot Event. Midland Health guests will have the opportunity to simulate what the surgeon would be doing during a surgical procedure. This free community event from 10 a.m. to noon Monday allows attendees to get behind the controls and test drive the Da Vinci surgical system. The event is scheduled for the Midland Memorial Hospital private dining room, 400 Rosalind Redfern Grover Parkway. Pool update. The last day for regular hours at the Washington Aquatic Center and Doug Russell Swimming Pool will be July 30th, according to the City of Midland. Washington will then be open on July 31st, August 1st, August 4th, and August 6th. Doug Russell will then be open August 2nd, August 3rd, and August 5th. XTO Dennis the Menace Splash Pad and HEB Splash Pad at Momentum Park will remain open to the public through Labor Day weekend, with September 4th being the last day open. See you at the library. On August 5th, the Midland County Public Libraries will host See You at the Library from noon to 2 p.m. at Centennial Branch. The event, quote, aims to promote the love of reading, honor local heroes, and encourage creativity among children and families, end quote. Event highlights include local heroes reading brave books, cookie decorating activities, and flag making craft stations, according to a release. City Boards and Commissioners. The Midland City Council will begin making appointments to various boards and commissions in September for the new fiscal year. The majority of terms will begin October 1st. Terms generally vary from 2 to 4 years. A complete list of boards/commissions, along with meeting schedules, is attached to the application form and can be found on the city's website, midlandtexas.gov. The following is a list of the remaining boards/commissions which have open seats. Airport Planning and Development Board, 3 seats. Permian Basin Community Center for MH/MR, Permia Care, 1 seat. Citizens Development and Hotel/Motel Advisory Board, 3 seats. Midland Housing Authority Commission, 3 seats. Midland Odessa Urban Transit District Board, 3 seats. Oil and Gas Advisory Commission, 1 seat. Parks and Recreation Commission, 3 seats. Planning and Zoning Commission, 3 seats. Zoning Board of Adjustment and Airport Zoning Board of Adjustment, 3 seats and 3 alternate seats. Applications are available at the City's Secretary's Office, Room 330, City Hall, 685-7430. The application can also be downloaded from the City's website at midlandtexas.gov, select Government, and then click on Boards and Commissions. Deadline for application is 5 p.m. on August 11th. Community Calendar. The Beach Boys at the Education Foundation, ECISD Annual Concert, July 27th, Hector County Coliseum. Spectrum of Solutions Hole-in-One Golf Tournament, August 8th, Ranchland Hills Golf Club. Midland ISD First Day of School, August 9th. Fly Into Fall at Air Park, August 26th. State of Education featuring Stephanie Howard, September 6th. Upcoming meetings, Commissioner's Court, 9 a.m. Monday in the Commissioner's Courtroom, Midland County Courthouse, 500 North Lorraine Street. Planning and Zoning, 3:30 p.m. Monday in the city, in the Council Chamber, City Hall, 300 North Lorraine Street. Midland City Council, 10 a.m. Tuesday in the Council Chamber, City Hall, 300 North Lorraine Street. Midland ISD, 5:30 p.m. Tuesday in the Bowie Fine Arts Auditorium, 805 Elk Avenue. Family Festival aims to instill culture of safety. Members of the Permian Basin STAPS, Service Transmission, Exploration, and Production Safety Network is sponsoring a PB STAPS Family Safety Festival on Tuesday in the parking lot at Midland College's Chaparral Center from 5 to 8 p.m. Midland Mayor Lori Blong will kick off the festivities. Activities and exhibits include a, quote, disaster house, end quote, that simulates earthquake and smoke, first aid for furry friends featuring adoptable pets, tractor trailer blind spot activities, health and fitness tests, and safety relay races. Quote, the goal of our event is to share the wealth of safety expertise and knowledge with the families of the Permian Basin in a fun and exciting way, end quote. Lindsay Ramirez, business development executive with RPS Manufacturing Solutions, told the Reporter Telegram by email. Quote, teaching a culture of safety to our families and neighbors from a young age will empower our children, our future leaders, with the knowledge and best practices that could one day save their lives or someone else's life. The ultimate goal is to create a culture of safety in our community. In efforts to live in a safer Permian Basin, where families come home to one another at the end of every single day, end quote. Safety is personal for Ramirez, who noted that her own husband survived a horrific crash in his work truck, quote, which really puts your entire life and what really matters into perspective, end quote. She said the idea of the event came to mind during the, quote, lessons learned, end quote, discussion at a STEPS meeting last November. Quote, as an oil field wife and working mother of 2 young children, I look forward to attending the STEPS meetings because I always walk away with something empowering that could translate well into my professional career and even my own household. I've heard voices crack, witnessed grown men break down in tears, and have seen the haunting pain in people's eyes as they spoke about their oil field incident survival stories or about losing a brother or sister in the oil field. This industry is hard, and at times it can be brutal and ugly. But when we come together to share our lessons learned, those stories of survival could be someone else's survival guide. And that's a beautiful thing, end quote, she wrote. Biz Beat, West Texas Abstract and Title to celebrate 100 years. Business Briefs. The Midland Chamber of Commerce will hold a 100-year celebration of the West Texas Abstract and Title on August 17th. Since 1923, West Texas Abstract has been completing real estate transactions in the region. Quote, for us, that achievement is more than just a number. It embodies the hard work and dedication that it takes to shepherd countless families through home ownership, end quote. West Texas Abstract wrote in its 100-year anniversary announcement. The Permian Basin Society of Human Resource Management HR Conference and Expo will allow professionals the opportunity to network, gain knowledge, and explore human resources, solutions, and tools on August 22nd. Keynote speaker will include Randy Anderson, co-founder of E3 Professional Trainers, Julie Birch, president of Julie Birch Speaks, and Bruce Waller, vice president of corporate relocation at The Armstrong Company. Business calendar, July 26th, American Home Improvement Ribbon Cutting, 11:30 a.m. to noon, 10810 State Highway 191, Suite 5. July 27th, Goodwill West Texas Career Center Grand Opening Ribbon Cutting, 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., 4320 West Illinois Avenue. August 17th, West Texas Abstract and Title Ribbon Cutting, 4:30 p.m. to 5 p.m., 3700 North Big Spring Street. August 22nd, PBSHRM HR Conference and Expo, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Bush Convention Center. August 29th, First Bank and Trust Mixer, 5 to 7 p.m., 1111 West Wall Street. October 11th through 12th, 2023, WTX Women, Professional Women's Symposium. October 26th, Power of the Purse Fundraiser, 6 to 8:30. MPD Lieutenant takes questions about MCS case during hearing. A hearing regarding exculpatory evidence in the case of former Midland Christian School administrators Dana Ellis and Jared Lee took place Friday at the 441st District Court. Exculpatory evidence is evidence that works in favor of excusing or absolving the alleged faults of a defendant. Lee and Ellis are two of the three MCS administrators indicted by a Midland County grand jury for failure to make a required child abuse report in November of last year. In December 2022, Judge Jeff Robnett dismissed the indictment against Matthew Counts, the third school administrator indicted by a Midland County grand jury in November 2022. Around the time Counts' charges were dropped, Lee and Ellis filed similar motions. Judge Robnett heard from the defense lawyers of Lee and Ellis. When the hearing began, two members of the Midland Police Department provided the Judge Robnett with evidence regarding the Midland Christian School investigation. Then the defense called MPD Lieutenant Rosemary Sharp to the stand. Attorneys for Ellis and Lee provided Sharp with MPD Sergeant Jenny Alonzo's testimony from the Trinity School trial in April. The two attorneys questioned Sharp about meetings that Alonzo testified had occurred between herself, Sharp, District Attorney Laura Nodolf, and Assistant District Attorney Jennifer Lively, and that the District Attorney directed the officers to arrest certain Trinity School administrators. Sharp said she took over investigating the second MCS case around mid-May 2022. A first MCS case against five MCS administrators was no-billed by a grand jury on May 11, 2022. Those five current and former MCS officials have filed a federal lawsuit against the City of Midland, Midland Police Department, and MPD Sergeant Jenny Alonzo last August. Sharp said Friday that between the first MCS case, the Trinity School case, and the second MCS case, there were meetings and communication that took place between herself, Alonzo, and the district attorney's office. Sharp said although there was a meeting between the parties prior to the Trinity arrests, she did not agree that the district attorney's office told her and Alonzo to make arrests prior to their investigation being concluded, but rather the meetings included direction on how to move forward with the case, according to Sharp. The 441st District Court took in the evidence provided by law enforcement regarding the MCS case and will reconvene at a later date. Texas Permian lead rig count cuts. Crude oil rigs at lowest count since March 2022. Drilling activity continues its downward trend with the rig count declining for a second consecutive week, led by sharp declines in Texas and the Permian Basin. Oilfield services firm Baker Hughes said Friday, the U.S. rig count it has issued weekly since 1944 fell six rigs to 669, the lowest level March 2022. It's also 89 rigs below the 758 rigs Baker Hughes reported a year ago. The number of rigs drilling for crude oil fell seven rigs, the deepest cut in over a month, to 530, the lowest level since March 2022, and 69 fewer than the 599 rigs drilling for crude last year. The number of rigs seeking natural gas dropped to 131, 24 fewer than the 155 drilling for natural gas the previous July. Texas dominated declines among the nation's major producing states, falling 7 rigs to 322, 43 below the 365 at work across the state last year. New Mexico remained unchanged at 113. Louisiana, 2, joined Texas in seeing a decline, while Oklahoma, 1, was the only producing state to see an increase. The Permian Basin fell 4 rigs to 333, the lowest since April 2022, and 16 fewer rigs than the 349 active rigs a year ago. The Eagle Ford followed with a decline of 2 rigs, while the Granite Wash, and Haynesville were also major producing basins to decline. Lee County, New Mexico, remains the most active county in the Permian, with 60 rigs, up 1 for the week. Eddy County, New Mexico, continues in second place with 51 rigs, down 1. Martin County posted the biggest decline among Permian Basin counties, dropping 3 rigs to 42. Midland County fell 2 rigs to 33, followed by Reeves County with 30 rigs, down 1 for the week. Loving County reported 22 rigs at work within county lines, down 1. Ward County also dropped 1 rig, falling to 16. Glasscock County posted the steepest increase among Permian Basin counties, surging 7 rigs to 10. Upton County likewise reported 10 rigs, down 1 for the week. Enverus Foundations, part of the Energy Focus Software as a Solution company Enverus, said its U.S. rig count reached 733 during the week ended July 19th, rising by 5 rigs from the previous week's high point. Nevertheless, the count is still down 1%, or 7 rigs, in the last month, and down 15% year over year. Only 2 major plays lost rigs week over week, with the Anadarko Basin down by 5 to 48 rigs, and the Williston Basin down by 1 to 35. The Permian gained 3 rigs to reach 322. The Gulf Coast was up by 2 to 85 rigs, and the DJ Basin added 1 rig for a total of 17. Appalachia was flat at 48 rigs running. Oil prices. Crude prices rise for 4th consecutive week. Increased air conditioner use heats up natural gas prices. Continued signs of tightening crude supplies sent oil prices higher for a 4th consecutive week. West Texas Intermediate on the New York Mercantile Exchange rose 3 of 5 trading days, overcoming a $1.27 decline Monday that opened the trading week. WTI added a $1.42 Friday, the first day of trading for September as the new near-month contract, to send prices above $77 a barrel. Prices ended the week at $77.07, up from $75.42 at last Friday's close. The posted price closed the week at $73.55, according to Plains All American. Natural gas futures fell 3 of 5 trading days but posted strong gains Tuesday, rising almost 12 cents, and Thursday jumping 15 cents to cross the $2.70 per MCF barrier. Henry Hub futures on the NYMEX dipped 4.4 cents to end the week at $2.713 per MCF, up from $2.539 at last Friday's close. The Energy Information Administration recently forecast that electric generation from natural gas, primarily to demand for electricity to power air conditioning during the current heat wave, would rise 4% in July and August compared to the same period of 2022. The EIA said natural gas will provide about 46% of U.S. electricity during July and August and 41% for the entire year. Ed Longenecker, president of the Texas Independent Producers and Royalty Owners Association, told the Reporter Telegram by email he is fairly bullish on natural gas prices short-term due to high temperatures and increasing consumption for power generation. As for crude oil, he wrote, quote, global supply will continue to tighten in the months ahead, and demand for crude oil will reach record levels. Demand growth in China is underestimated, aided by recent stimulus. OPEC Plus members will maintain the course and geopolitical tensions will likely accelerate, potentially resulting in further supply disruptions, all putting upward pressure on crude oil prices, end quote. Optimism that economic outlooks for China and India will support global oil demand while OPEC Plus members work to make sure the market remains tight. Edward Moya, senior market analyst, The Americas, with OANDA, wrote in his daily newsletter. Quote, WTI crude has been rising since the end of June, but has clearly found resistance just above the $77 level, end quote, he wrote. Quote, next week, energy traders will have to pay attention to global flash PMI readings, a handful of major energy company earnings, the standard weekly stockpile data points, and some energy conferences, which could provide some insight for the future shifts with supply and demand. WTI crude might continue its consolidation pattern between the $74 to $77 level, end quote. Mercer Capital, which recently took an in-depth look at the performance of Permian Basin producers, noted that oil prices have generally declined over the last 2 months, from $106 WTI and $109 Brent, the global benchmark, to a current $71 WTI and $75 Brent. There were short-lived increases in October 2022 of 12% for WTI and 11% for Brent, and again in March and April, 21% for WTI and 16% for Brent. Still, natural gas prices experienced much wider swings, with Henry Hub running up 80% from $5.39 on June 30, 2021, to $9.42 on August 25, 2022. Henry Hub then slid over the next 5 months to $2.40 in early February. Since then, prices have ranged from $2.01 to $2.87.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.